Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, thank you, DJ Q, for the last time in 2016, bringing us back from the break-in style. He is absolutely right. I am Jay Flama, and you are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best. It's the best, the spiciest, the boldest, the most flavorful hot sauce out there on the market. It's delicious on everything, and it's on every table in the Deep South. It should be on yours. When it says JB's, it's the best. And we have as our final guest of the year, the man himself. We're grateful that he's been such a great sponsor of the show. We absolutely love his product. We're glad to have him on. Former golf writer and now hot sauce expert and magnate. Please welcome John Byron. Welcome to Jay's Place, John.
Hello, Jay. It is so glad to be here today, and I wish you and all of your listeners a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. A Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and to all of our GNN listeners. And a thank you also to Ryan Ballingy, our producer. It's been a really great year. So why don't we start with tell everybody out there how you came to make such great hot sauce.
Well, Jay, excuse me, but if, like most people in the food business or condiment business, I have all of my friends and family to blame. It started out, I was, as my label and website says, I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York, which you might know is the birthplace of Buffalo Hot Wings. It's actually not a myth. It is actually true. That is why they're named Buffalo Hot Wings. And my family was in the restaurant business for 40 years, and being as though Italians like to take advantage of cheap child labor, I grew up working in our restaurant. I took my family recipe. We moved to Atlanta in 1976 when I was 14 years old, and I took my family recipe and put my own little twist on it. And fast forward a few years, my wife and I love to make chicken wings at home, and we'd have friends and family over to have chicken wings while we were watching football games, and everybody would say, man, these wings are awesome, where'd you get them? And we'd say, we made them ourselves, and they'd say, oh man, you gotta sell this stuff. Well, you hear that often enough, and you start thinking, what's it take to start a hot sauce company? And as you said, I'd been a sports journalist for my entire professional life, which is close to 30 years now, and never run a business. So we decided to say, let's check it out. Let's see what it takes to start a hot sauce business. So we did about a year's research and found out that the investment wasn't that great. And like my late great dad used to say, you don't stand a chance if you don't take a chance. So we said, what the hell? Let's do it. So we did it, and we launched, it'll be 3 years ago in March, that we launched a website and a Facebook page. And that's all the marketing we've ever done. We've never spent a penny on marketing, except on your great show, of course. And lo and behold, it's taken off. And we're just so blessed and happy and amazed at what we've been able to accomplish in these last almost 3 years. And we're going to take it as far as we can take it.
Well, it is a ton of fun having guests on the show who will just all of a sudden blurt out, I love JB's Best. I have JB's Best. This stuff's great. I totally want to win a bottle of that. Okay, guys like John Sanford and Steve Smyers, they're the ones that confirmed it really is on every table in the South. I mean, well, people absolutely love it.
Well, we appreciate it, Jay, and it's a unique hot sauce. And you know, like I say, while we were doing our research on the business, we found that it seemed that everybody who was making hot sauce was in a competition to see who could burn your face off, to see who could make the hottest hot sauce out there. And that's not what we are, and that's not what we wanted to be, and not what we'll ever be. Our hot sauce, we think, is we like to think of it as a flavor enhancer rather than a flavor master.
No question.
And right. So, you know, we make one hot sauce, and that's all we do, and we make it the same way every time, hopefully consistently, and we hope people like it, and if they don't like it, if it's not hot enough for them, we say thank you for trying us, and we move on to the next thing. So, but no, we're very grateful for you and your show and your friendship over all these many years, and look forward to many more.
Well, you know, here's the deal, okay? I have been eating hot sauce since I was 3, okay? I used to go to school with a lunch of a pepperoni and hot sauce sandwich, okay? I drank a bottle of Frank's Red Hot for $200 when I was in prep school and didn't even blink an eye, okay? And I used to go for the volcano wings, like Sauron flavor, you know, like Mount Doom flavor, okay? And
right.
So I know what a good hot sauce tastes like, okay? I can handle an 8 out of 10, you know, on the... we don't do it by Schofield units. We know about Schofield units.
Oh, of course.
Okay, and here it really is delicious and flavorful. I don't often quote Bob Kraft, but Bob Kraft told the truth when he said, I liked it so much I bought the company. Well, I loved it so much I had to have you guys as a sponsor. You know, that's the way anything that I work with, anything that I sponsor is something that I wore, that I tried, that I used, that I did. And, you know, we have no problem telling everybody, okay, Kitty B's desk is good on lips, hips, and fingertips, and anything and everything else you can think of. When it says JB's, it's the best.
Well, thank you so much, Jay. And anybody who wants to give us a try can order some at jbsbest.com. And I thank you so much for our talking so great about our hot sauce. But let's talk about some golf. I want to talk about the
golf. That's exactly what I was going to say. So you are a former golf writer, a great one for the PGA of America. So why don't you sum up your view of the best stories of the year in 2016?
You know, Jay, I've got to say, I think Dustin Johnson is the best story of the year. I mean, this guy, we know he went through some personal struggles, and it appeared that his life was in turmoil. And then for him to refocus his not only his personal life, but his professional life and his golf game and everything around that, and to accomplish what he accomplished, to me was amazing. I'm just really impressed and so very pleased for Dustin and his wife, Paulina, and their new child. And of course, Wayne Gretzky, I have to say, the greatest hockey player of all time. To me, it has to be the story of 2016. And then, I mean, you hate to say that it overshadows the Ryder Cup, but I think it does. To think that somebody came through such personal challenges to accomplish what he accomplished in the face of what he had to face was, I don't think the mere person can comprehend what that means. And I think he epitomized what it means to be a professional athlete.
You know, he did win GWAA, Golf Writers Association of America, Player of the Year.
Right.
And we had Marino Paracenso, who you know and you wrote with and you worked with and is a dear friend of all of ours. Marino came on the show 2 segments ago and said exactly the same thing. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I was one of the dissenters that cast his vote for Henrik Stenson because I thought that final round 63 at the Open Championship, you know, with Phil Mickelson playing with him, shooting a 65 himself, and finishing at 20 under, setting a major championship record, I was absolutely floored. We got a chance to see a second version of the duel in the sun. You know, yes, Dustin won, and he won with a sword of Damocles hanging over his head, you know, that penalty that he didn't know if he was going to get hit with or not. And that was an impressive way to finish, but it certainly wasn't a 63. It certainly wasn't a 63 with Phil Mickelson breathing down his neck after opening with a 63. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't 10 shots clear of everybody else. And Dustin's season kind of petered out at the end while Stenson's got stronger at the end. Stenson won one more tournament. Dustin won two more tournaments. And Henrik Stenson had a big singles win to help close out the Ryder Cup, as well as a couple of very good wins in four balls as well.
Right.
Well, so I kind of gave the edge.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Did Henrik Stenson ever choke away a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by chunking a chip shot and double bogeying and triple bogeying? I believe it was maybe three of his first five holes, and then hitting an OB in the British Open to squander that opportunity, and then losing the PGA Championship by grounding his club in what was has to be described as a mysteriously ruled bunker. And in the face of all that, not to mention his personal problems, to still persevere and come back and win the U.S. Open. To me, I think that is that's an incredible accomplishment. And while I respect your choice of Henrik Stenson, which is an admirable one and, you know, certainly worthy, I've got to take Dustin Johnson for what he's come back from over the past, you know, half decade.
I mean, you know, but are we not bowing a little bit to the emotional side of the story rather than looking at the mathematical side of the story? And again, you frequently hear when people want to say, you know, they'll frequently say, you know, this guy came on late in the year. He's the hottest player right now. That guy won all those tournaments earlier in the year. We really ought to wait the later part of the season a little more. You know, it's kind of strange how certain golf writers, not you, others, you know, will play those two cards back and forth when they want to go with the person that they feel more of a psychological attachment to. You know, the same reasons that you bring up that some people have a psychological attachment to Dustin Johnson, I go the other way. You know, his personal problems were, you know, kind of his own self-destructive personal problems that were added to when you threw Paulina into the mix. Yeah, he blew a bunch of tournaments that he kind of sort of should have won.
Let's clarify. He didn't blow a few tournaments. He blew a few majors. I mean, it's a
then some kind of sort of should have won.
Right. And a lot of people, when they get in that position, never recover from that emotional and psychological dagger to the heart. And he did. So I'm gonna go with him, and I respect your dissension, and trust me, Henrik is a fantastic player, and I love to watch him play, and what he did last year in the Open Championship was magical and absolutely jaw-dropping.
Now, in defense of Dustin, I will say the good thing about him is that he plays well in all four types of major golf courses. He plays well in the UK at the links courses. He plays well on your general tour stop, which is where you find the PGA. He plays well at tough US Open courses. And, you know, we'll see about Augusta National. He hasn't quite contended down the stretch on a Sunday there yet, but he's a strong enough golfer that if he's good enough to play the other three, we'll see if his game fits Augusta. You know, so he's going to be around, and he's going to contend for a long time. He may very well win more than one player of the year now that he has won his first. The other thought that I had was the biggest story for me also was that magnificent Sunday of Ryder Cup this year between Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia. Who says ties are boring when they shoot 63 and 65? And it wasn't Patrick Reed versus Rory McIlroy. That was Godzilla versus Rodan. That's what that was. That was two Japanese monsters battling each other. Oh, 60-foot putt. Ah! Oh, shit. Grab your popcorn. That was the most fun I had all year.
That was. And the Ryder Cup, as you know, having worked for the PGA of America is very dear to my heart, and I suffered through many losses, and only got to see one win during my five Ryder Cups that I covered. And this one was very entertaining. It was very gratifying, and I love the Ryder Cup. But let me ask you a question. What do you see heading towards 2017? What are going to be the storylines this year? Who do you think is going to break through in a major and do what needs to be done?
All right, well, first things first, everybody, you know, put down your snow globe, put down your Magic 8 ball, put down the crystal ball, okay, and especially get ready for a dose of reality. Tiger is not going to win a major next year. Okay, period, end of sentence. Next year, we have some interesting choices for major championship venues, okay? We open at Erin Hills. Well, of course, we go to Augusta, but we go to Erin Hills, a new place for the first time that we haven't seen yet, that the players have not played yet. I've checked it out myself. It'll be a lot of fun. It's in Try to Find Me, Wisconsin. Very tough to get there. Okay, you may have to stop and ask a cow which farm you want to turn at before you get there. But once you do get there, it's a wonderful, big, bold, broad-shouldered, hurly-burly rolling golf course with a lot of excellent greens, and phenomenal terrain for golf. So congratulations to Ron Witten and to all the crew that built that built the Erin Hills. But, you know, we have no frame of reference. We have no idea. I bet Dustin will play well there. I bet Rory will play well there. We go to Royal Birkdale for the Open Championship. Again, a very friendly golf course for Americans. As long as you don't get the same kind of weather that we had there when Patty Harrington won in 2008. You'll remember that the first day out of the gate was a rainstorm out of the pages of The Last Judgment. And then finally we close with another strange choice, Quail Hollow in North Carolina, which has a tour stop every single year, but now we're going to jump and also have a major championship. Last time we did that was Torrey Pines in 2008. I know that they're going to make Quail a lot harder, but everybody is familiar with it, and so everybody's, you know, going to have a chance. Because big names tend to win at Quail Hollow, again, you're going to have to go with your usual suspects. I think it's the young guns that are going to have another good year. We will see a rebound from Jordan Spieth. We will see a rebound from Jason Day. And, we're going to have the usual suspects of Rory and Dustin Johnson. Golf is in phenomenal hands. The torch has been passed. And the numbers are just going lower and lower. Drives are getting longer and longer. Approach shots are getting closer and closer. There's no better time to be a golf fan than right now.
Amen, Jay.
Now, before I let you go, tell me where you might be playing some of your golf in the next few months.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm ashamed to say that, this past year, thanks to some old man injuries like elbow and shoulder, I didn't play much golf this year. So I'm really itching to get back on. I normally play a lot of most of my golf around here in Georgia. Thankfully, through some of my dear friends, I play a lot of golf at the Atlanta Athletic Club, both the Highlands and the Riverside Course, as well as Sea Island, the Ocean Course, which I think the back nine is nine of the most spectacular holes that you can play. And if the wind is blowing in off the Atlantic, as it's wont to do, the most difficult nine holes you can play. I plan to play there, and there's some other good little gems around here in Georgia that we play. Chicopee Woods, Reunion Golf Club, Hamilton Mill Golf Club. So I plan to get back out. I'm healed up now, and once the golf season kicks off, I'm excited to get back out there and start swinging it again.
Well, when I come down for the Masters, we'll have to get together and either play Jim Ank's course at the Creek Club or maybe Mike Young's Long Shadow.
Would love to, Jay. Give me a call.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thank you for the best hot sauce out there on the market. Thank you for the wise words when it comes to what's going to happen next year. John, so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Jay, and all the best, and Happy New Year, and looking forward to a great and exciting 2017 golf season.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and thank you to all you listeners. It's no fun doing this in an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you. I am Jay Flemma. We are the Golf News Net Radio Network. You're listening to Jay's Play. We're at the end of another great Jay's Play show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner. You can read me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.